This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Simon Lee, the founder and CEO of Flitto, which is a crowdsourced translation platform. Good morning, Simon. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
So, Simon, can you give us some backstory here? I mean, what made you want to start Flitto? It's not your first venture, is it?
Well, it's my third startup. And I was born in Kuwait, the country in Middle East Asia. And I spent 4 years there. Then I moved to States and England. And finally, I spent 7 years in Saudi Arabia, which means I got exposed to all different cultures and languages. So I got interested in learning languages. So that's why I plan to come up with this idea, crowdsourcing translation.
So you identified a gap in the market in terms of translation. Well, explain the business model to us. How exactly does Flitto work?
Well, you know, a lot of people, they think machine translation, whenever we talk about the translation, they always talk about, like, you know, Google translation, you know. But whenever I ask them, like, can you use Google Translate when you talk to your friends or, like, when you send out business letter or when you do your homework, people, they say no. Because machine translation is not correct. It's not accurate. So what I thought is, like, number of people who are learning second language is growing fast. So we can bring all those ability in one platform, and then we're going to create whole new translation platform. So you can request translation in our platform, and other people who speak other language, they can actually help you to get the translation. So that's a basic knowledge of our platform right now.
Is it free, Simon?
No, it's not. It's not free. Well, actually, you can use it for free. You can upload some kind of advertisement on your SNS, like social media. In that case, you can use this for free, like once in a month. But actually, you have to pay little coin, which is way cheaper than professional translators. For example, if you want to translate one A4 size paper using our platform, you only got to pay $2 or like $3. But if you ask professional translators, you have to pay about $30 to $40.
And the business proposition of Flitto is that you take a cut of that payment.
Well, yeah, that's right. We get commission fee, but which is way lower than agencies. And also we sell our database. Like every single day we get 70,000 translation requests. And there are some companies that actually need our translation database, so that they can actually come out with a better machine translation service, or they can put our sentences in their dictionaries, like, you know, English dictionaries in some websites. You know, they have usage examples, and we sell our database so that actually they can put those kind of database in their dictionaries.
So, Simon, who uses Flitto? How many users do you have? Can you run through some of the metrics with us?
Right now, we have more than 5.1 million users around 173 countries. Most of users, they use our platform to translate business letter because, you know, it's really hard for them to use machine translation because it's not accurate. And if they use professional translators, they have to wait more than probably a day or like 2 days. But like sending out business letter is very urgent. And our platform, it only takes less than $1-$2 for like half a page. So, and it's faster. It only takes like 5 to 10 minutes. So most of the people who does global business, they use our platform because it's cheaper and faster and it's accurate. And those people who buy products from other like e-commerce platform, for example, if I buy product from Arab e-commerce platform, because I don't speak Arabic, it's really hard for me to talk to the seller. In that case, those people, buyers, they use our platform to do CS, customer satisfaction.
So that's interesting. So you're looking at a lot of business correspondence being translated on your site. I would have thought
right.
That it was more of a social or either a younger crowd using it.
Well, still, you know, we even we take, like, you know, even our service is like cheap, you know, we still get probably a dollar or like, you know, 50 cents per like one translation. So that's why those people who does the business, they think it's cheaper, but those students or like little kids, you know, they still think it's expensive for them to pay.
And what kind of languages are we talking about, Simon? What are you seeing be most requested translation?
Well, definitely, you know, most common languages are English and Chinese. So those people who want to get translation in English and Chinese, they are like the highest among like all users. And interesting thing is that Indonesian users are like third largest in our platform.
Wow.
Probably because of the population. And we started with the translation for Korean like K-pop stars tweets.
Tweets?
Yeah, right. There are lots and lots of fans in Indonesia who are interested in K-pop. So probably that's the reason. That's what we are thinking right now.
So they copy and paste K-pop tweets and then send it to your site to make sure to get a translation of that?
No. We automatically we connected Twitter and Facebook and all those kind of social media with our platform, so that global fans, they can read stars at social media in their native language. And also, K-pop stars, they are using our platform to record their voice and get translation in different languages.
Okay, is that a tie-up that you're just doing in Korea?
There are some Chinese singers that are actually using our platform, and Brazilian writers, like celebrities. So there are probably 50 to 60 celebrities like, globally using our service to get translation and to record their voice to send out to their fans and get some translations. So, for example, yesterday, the Henry from Super Junior, he used our service to record his voice, and you can easily find it on Twitter.
Simon, you mentioned earlier that turnover is about 10 minutes, right? How are you able to get translation out that quickly?
Because we push translation requests through mobile phone. So those people who can speak other languages, and if they are carrying their mobile device, we push them notification. For example, like if you translate this, you're going to get this much of points, and you can exchange that points into real money or like real goods. So if you're free right now, you can actually participate in the translation. And we don't push that to one person. We push it to like thousands of users. So people who are doing nothing can participate in the translation. You know, that only takes less than probably 5 to 10 minutes.
So that's the crowdsourcing element. You have a whole range of people that have signed up to be translators.
Right, because, you know, there are a number of people who can speak other language, but they will never get compensation by adding translation because they have other jobs. So what we're trying to do is, like, you know, we're trying to bring those kind of people into our platform and giving them right compensation.
And how many do you have at the moment, Simon?
The translators?
Yeah.
We have over 1 million, the largest among, like, all translation service.
So that seems to me that there could be potential issues there. I mean, when you talk about crowdsourcing, there could be quality control issues. How does Flitto monitor that?
So we don't monitor, you know, like other users, like requesters, they review the translations of other translators. So if you see the profile of the translators, you can actually see how many translations he or she has made and how accurate that was, just like Airbnb, but in translation version.
My concern is, say I am a business owner and I'm looking to get some urgent business correspondence translated. I've sent it out on Flitto and someone I don't know has actually translated it for me, but I can't tell whether that translation is correct. How would I know that that piece of translated letter is in fact correct?
So you can see the level of the translator, which has been scored by other users and by a company. And that gives you how accurate the translator is. It doesn't mean how accurate the translation is. It means how accurate the translator is.
I see.
So
okay.
That gives you the credibility of the translator so that you can actually pick the right translation. Because we push the translation to like thousands of the translators, and they're going to give you like all different translations, and you don't know which one to pick. In that case, you can see the profile of the translators, and they're going to give you a better chance for you to find right translation.
Right. So if I am a translator, then I would try to do as many translations as possible to push my ratings up.
That's right. That's why many translators are participating in our translation request.
I understand.
To higher their level. You know, it's just same for professional translators as well. Like if you ask translation to professional translators, you know, there's no way for you to find out that translation is perfect or not. You have to believe it. But we are giving more chance more opportunity to those people who request translations to find better translations.
So if I could revisit a little bit earlier, you talked about how you're working with machine translations to sell your translation data sets. Can you tell us more about that?
So there are many machine translation services. And for those companies to make it more accurate, they need a database. Like every single day, people they create with the new vocabulary. In that case, they need to get all the translation sets of those kind of vocabularies. So we have, like every single day, we collect probably 300,000 database because we get 70,000 translation requests a day. And we give those kind of database to those companies where they make machine translations. So they use our database to push a better translation to those people who use machine translation.
So you sell the data, you sell
right.
it? Okay. And
right.
who do you sell it to?
To those big companies where they make machine translation.
So are we talking like Google Translate?
Well, we're not actually selling our database to Google, but in Korea, we sell a database to a company called Naver, like NHN.
Is that the parent company of Line, isn't it?
Right. The largest IT company in Korea.
Are there privacy concerns, Simon, by selling these data sets?
You mean what kind of concerns?
Well, privacy concerns. You're selling people's translation,
yeah.
right?
So that's right. So we get agreement from customers before they send out translation requests. So if you want to keep your translation requests like confidential, then you can check in a box. In that case, only translators and requesters can see the translation results, and company can never sell the database.
I see. Okay. So do you consider companies like or platforms like Google Translate and Naver, do you consider them competitors or collaborators in this case?
It's more like collaborative. You know, it's like we're not trying to compete with those kind of machine translation companies. We're trying to collaborate with those kind of companies because we can give what they need, and it's pretty much sure that they will not get into crowdsource translation area.
But Simon, I mean, one of the shortcomings of machine translation is that you said it's not that accurate, right? But by giving them more and more of your data sets, they keep becoming accurate. So how then do you see your business, say, 5-10 years down the road after giants like Google have made
right.
their translations accurate?
So people, they're saying that machine translation will never get accurate. You know, they've been talking about that thing for like long and long, since probably 1990s, because you know if machine translation gets like perfect, it means that machine can understand the feeling of human beings because the language itself contains the feeling, which means that machine translation will never get perfect, even in the future,
even with all your data sets.
Yeah, definitely, because you know, people every single day, people they come up with the new vocabulary, like millions and billions of like vocabulary. You know, they have slangs and they have all different like vocabularies coming up, like creating. But it's hard for like those kind of IT companies to gather all the translations. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is like we're providing those kind of translations. So it's more like you know, a partner thing. It's not like competitor.
So you don't see technology catching up with you and putting you out of business?
Well, I don't think so, because we understand, you know, like the language itself is not just the language, you know, it's like feeling of the human beings. And I don't think that robots or like machines will kind of take over those kind of area.
So the big companies, they can be considered collaborators. But what about other direct competitors? Because it seems to me that this online translation is a mm-hmm. pretty crowded space. There are lots of other companies offering the same service and barriers
right.
to entry quite low, I would say, Simon.
Well, recently, you know, China, they opened their market and a lot of like more and more people, they are doing business with China. And before, a lot of people, they use English as a common language. But these days, Chinese, they use Chinese to communicate with other people. So people who just speak Chinese and English, they got to learn Chinese and English to deal with the business with them. So the translation market is growing really fast. Every like single year, you know, the rate of the growth rate is about like 14%.
And are you in the Chinese market at the moment?
Yeah, we have service in China. We have 8 employees in China, and it's growing super fast in China right now.
Is that where you see the future of Litto?
Right.
So what is the future of Litto? I mean, apart from translation services, can you just bank on this model, this proposition to grow your business?
So we are actually coming out with the new technology using translation database. What I mean is, like, if you take a picture of the foreign language, then we're going to give you translation within 5 minutes because we push the request to translators. But the next person who takes similar picture in the similar location, he or she doesn't have to wait because we have the database. We push database right away, which means if you go to museum or like historical site, you just carry our application and you can get the translation in like 17 different languages right away. It's augmented reality thing. So we're going to work on technology as well. And our final goal is like, I want people to say, just use Litto. Like whenever people, they talk about the translation, like foreign language, I just want people to say, just Litto it. Just like Google.
You want to become part of the vocabulary.
Right. It's like, just don't tell me that. Just go and Litto it.
Well, I know that Litto won $500,000 from SeedStars World last year for funding. What did you use that for?
We actually didn't get funding. We get a chance to get funding, but by the time we had enough fund on our account, so we actually gave the fund to the second winner.
So you didn't take the money that was offered?
Right, because you know it wasn't grant. If it was a grant, you know, it was it was like $500,000 and we could get it, but actually it was a funding, so we had to give out shares, but we had enough investors and enough fund in our account, so we actually gave it to second winner.
Okay, so you didn't want to dilute or divest any more shares.
Right.
That brings me to my next question. I mean, what is your end game with Litto? Do you have an end game?
Well, no one knows. No, it's actually, right now I'm the parent of my company. You know, I'm the father, I'm the mother. But if better mom or like if better father who comes up to me and say, I can breed your kid better than you, then I can sell my kid. Well, it sounds a bit awkward. But still.
Yeah, I'm not sure that metaphor still holds.
Right. Because, you know, it's kind of greedy for me to keep my own company because it's my company. But even I think someone can raise my kid better than I do. What I think is greedy. So I'm not sure right now. Well, if there's like someone else out there who can actually raise my company better than I do, then, you know, I can sell my company. And if I think I'm the best one, then I can keep my company to IPO.
Simon Lee, the founder and CEO of online translation service Litto, is on The Breakfast Grill today. You mentioned earlier that this isn't your first venture, that you've had several other startups. So are you like a serial entrepreneur? Is that the rush that you get?
No, actually, all those three companies are related to crowdsourcing translation. So I started my first company back in 2007, which is similar as this one right now. I started my second one on 2009, which is like even more similar than this one.
And they didn't take off?
Well, actually, the founders right now, they actually came from my former company. And the first one, I failed because by the time we didn't have smartphones, so it was really hard for me to get translation in real time.
Right. It was a different time. So I guess perhaps the timing was not right. Okay. Well, Simon, just to wrap things up, now I understand you speak at least, what, 6 different languages from living around the world.
Right.
So I guess my question is, what do you think is the language of the future? I mean, if you had kids, what languages would you make them learn?
Well, I want them to learn the language they want to learn. You speak, what language you speak? You speak Bahasa Malay?
Yeah, I speak Bahasa Malaysia, English.
Right, but we speak in English to communicate with each other. Even my mother tongue is Korean, your mother tongue is Bahasa Malay, but I don't like it. there's more people out there who forget about their native language and learning English or like learning Chinese for their future. You know, the language itself contains the history of that country. And why do we have to lose those kind of history? What I see in the future is like, you know, we have to keep our language and we have to focus on learning other language.
So the future is in being not just bilingual, but also multilingual.
Right. And I don't like people to lose their language and like learning like the common languages like English and Chinese. So Flito is trying to help them preserve their own language. That's what I think. And myself, I just want to learn as many languages in the world.
I've been speaking to Simon Lee, the founder and CEO of Flito, an online translation service. Thanks, Simon, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.